At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of them standing near this, they heard, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Surely this man was the Son of God. Word spoken by the Roman centurion as he saw Jesus breathe his last. The centurion saw, and he believed. This man who had seen many deaths, presumably even many crucifixions, was moved to this confession by the death of Jesus. He had seen many last breaths, but this one was different. He saw, and he believed. What did he see? More than a man dying on a cross. More than a curtain being torn. More than an earthquake. More than injustice. More than brutality. More than an example of humility or service. He saw what he confessed to see. The Son of God. In the ancient Roman world, this title would have been synonymous with deity. He saw a God dying. We who know the story of Jesus know that there is more to it than that. We know that what he saw was God dying on the cross. The second person of the Trinity, God incarnate, God in the flesh, who stepped down into history, who was born of a virgin, who was baptized by John, who is tested by Satan, betrayed by Judas, sentenced by Pontius Pilate. We know that this death was no ordinary death, that this man was no ordinary man. We know that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We know that he is the one prophesied in Isaiah hundreds of years earlier, the root out of dry ground, despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows. We know that he is the one who has carried our burdens, who has borne our grief, who is smitten, stricken, and afflicted by God for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Jesus was oppressed and led to slaughter like a lamb, although he had done no violence. We know that by oppression and judgment he was taken away to be killed by evil men led by evil spirits. And we also know that we have all gone astray, all fallen short of the glory of God. Each one of us have sinned and are in need of forgiveness. Our good works are not enough to get us to heaven. Our good deeds can never wipe out our sins. We know that we are separated from God because we are sinful, and that nothing we can do in our own power is enough to cross that separation. We know that his world is broken. This creation plunged into darkness because of the deeds of darkness by those who are the enemies of God, a number that used to include us. But we also know that it was the plan of God for Jesus to die. And that on his shoulders, as he hung, were your sins, each and every one of them, the sins of the world, to be certain, but your sins and my sins. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He took our place. The wrath that we had earned for our sins was poured out upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Because what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The story of the cross is a story of a world turned upside down. Jesus dies so we can live. The innocent dies for the guilty. The king dies for his people. The criminal is set free and the Messiah is crucified. The religious leaders are blind, but those who have eyes can see. Sinners are made righteous, while the only truly righteous one is made sin. The cross turns the world on its head. It stands against the lie that we can be good enough on our own to get to God. It stands against the lie that if our good deeds just outweigh the bad, that'll be good enough. The cross stands in contrast to the teaching that there is any other way to God. It destroys all the plans, schemes, and machinations of those who would stand against the one true God. It proclaims that the only way to life is through participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only way to be made right with God is to have your sin debt paid, and the cross proclaims that you cannot pay it, but that Jesus did. The cross tells a story of love. How much God loves us. How much God loves his creation and his creatures, that he would die and endure death for us. The cross tells the story of forgiveness. That God would do what it takes so we could be forgiven. The cross tells the story of justice, that God will and would and did punish sin. And so, he is the one who is just and the one who justifies. The cross tells the story of victory, one that we will celebrate on Sunday. So what do you see? Earlier in the story, the chief priests say to Jesus, "Come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. Give us a sign so that we may see." But they would not open their eyes to see that what was right before them. What did they see? They saw a man justly dying for his blasphemy. A man divinely silenced and condemned. They saw what they thought was a victory for their position, for their power. They saw what they thought was good for their people. One man dying so their nation could live. What they didn't know is what was happening was exactly that. One man dying so that many would live forever. The sad fact is they didn't see. They refused to see, and God made them blind so they couldn't see. What do you see? A get out of jail free card? A license to sin? Just an old story? Or do you see the greatest act of love in history? The greatest act of mercy and grace? Do you see? Do you see the love of God revealed in the sacrifice of Jesus? Do you see the Savior? Even better, do you see your Savior? Dying for you, taking the punishment you deserved and offering instead the pardon he earned. Do you see how much he loves you? Do you see how much he paid for your life? Do you recognize the lengths he went to so that you could be forgiven and adopted into the family? Do you see? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus paid the price for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? We have seen, and we have believed, and we have been made new, but at a terrible cost. A cost that should remind us of the seriousness of sin. A cost that should remind us that our lives are not our own, but that we have been purchased by God to do his will, to build his kingdom, to live for his glory. Good Friday calls us to certainty. It calls us to settle in our hearts and in our minds once and for all that the sacrifice of Jesus was for my sins, that because of his work on the cross, my sins have been paid for. I am forgiven. I am made new. I am reconciled with God. And I am accepted. Don't assume. Don't guess. Don't flippantly breeze past the cross to get to the celebration of the resurrection. But see and believe, and in seeing and believing, be forgiven, be justified, and be saved. We have seen, and we believe. And now I offer you an invitation. An invitation on behalf of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, to come to his table. I want to invite you at his invitation to come to his table and to partake in communion with him, to partake in a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, to partake in his body and his blood.